SimplySafe.com. Whole home protection, protection for every window, room, and door against intruders, fires, water damage, medical emergencies, and more. All monitored 24/7 by professionals ready to dispatch police. Everything you need to know. Expert Chief SimpliSafe Home Security, named Best Home Security Overall by U.S. News and World Report. Awarded by Popular Mechanics and more. Like live professional alerts. Our monitoring staff calls you when trouble is detected and stays with you until it's solved. Dispatch faster with usual verification. Adding visual verification to your monitoring plan lets us verify your alarm is ready so police can dispatch faster. It's a lot less expensive. We cut out the middleman and mark up so you get more security for less with no contact. Prepared for the unexpected. Lose power, lose Wi-Fi, someone attacks the system, natural disaster, SimpliSafe is ready. Protects against fires and water damage, more than just intruders. Our pros monitor against leaks, floods, fires, and more. Keep an eye inside and out. With HD security cameras for indoors and out, see what's happening all the time. Designated to disappear from the tiny size of our sensors to easy one-touch control means they'll never notice your security system. Detects people, ignores pests. Motion sensors use a precision human form detection algorithm. Compare your security options. Traditional home security monitored by professional 36-month contract. Monitoring costs $37 to $53 a month. Hardwired, never needs a landline. Poor rating on Trustpilot. SimpliSafe, the better way. Monitored by professionals, no contract. Wireless, no drilling or landline required. Great rating on Trustpilot. Easy to set up yourself in no time. How it works, choose your security sensors, we'll walk you through exactly what your home needs and ship it to your front door under a week. Set it up in just a few minutes, no trials needed, or let one of our pros do it for you. Sensors guard all your rooms and entry points. If there is a trouble, our monitoring center will call you and if needed, dispatch authorities. More reasons to choose SimpliSafe. Arm, disarm from your anywhere, forgot to arm your system, need to let someone in, do it right from your phone anytime. Almost never change your batteries. Batteries last all for almost a decade and entry sensors, the best lifespan in the industry. Battery life may vary based on use. Alexa, arm my system, use your system with Alexa, Google Assistant, August Locks, Apple Watch, and more. Keep an eye on cabinets, safes, and more. Secret alerts quietly alerts you if someone accesses private areas without sounding an alarm. Customized for your home. Well, we'll customize the right system for your home's needs. Incredible range. Many wireless security systems struggle to cover your entire house. Ours can cover large homes with ease. Custom alerts for friends and family. Set up text alerts so friends and family stay in the know. Duress pin. If someone forces you to disarm your system, your duress pin will securely alert the authorities. Meet the station. Boost station. The trust comes with a built-in cell connection to rapidly alert our emergency dispatch center. Try it, test it, love it, or return it. Test SimpliSafe in your home for 60 days. Your system is ready to work. No drilling or tools needed. If you aren't 100% set, we'll return it for a full refund. We'll even pay for return shipping. Morning. Here, I hope you had a good Easter. Here is FLOTUS episode Anna Eleanor Roosevelt, Part 3. Norvelt. On May 21st, 1937, Roosevelt visited Westmoreland homesteads to mark the arrival of the community's final homestead. Accompanying her on the trip was Eleanor Morgenthau, the wife of Henry Morgenthau Jr., the President's Secretary of the Treasury. I am no believer in paternalism. I do not like charities, Eleanor Roosevelt has said earlier, but cooperative communities such as Westmoreland and West Homesteads, she went on, offered an alternative to our rather subtle ideas that could provide equality of opportunity for all and prevent the recurrence of a similar disaster depression in the future. Residents were so taken by her personal expression of interest in the program that they promptly agreed to rename the community in her honor. The new town named Norvelt was a combination of last syllables in her names Eleanor and Roosevelt. The Norvelt Firefighters Hall is named Roosevelt Hall in her honor. Use of media. Roosevelt was an unprecedentedly outspoken first lady who made far more use of media than her predecessor. She held 348 press conferences over the span of her husband's 12-year presidency, inspired by her relationship with Hickok. Roosevelt placed a ban on male reporters attending the press conferences, effectively forcing newspapers to keep female reporters on staff in order to cover them. She relaxed the rule only once on her return from 1943 Pacific trip because the Gridiron Club banned women from its annual Gridiron Dinner for Journalists. Roosevelt hosted a competing event for female reporters at the White House, which she called Gridiron Widows. She was interviewed by many of the newspapers, the New Orleans journalist Iris Kelso described Roosevelt as her most interesting interviewee ever. In the early days of her all-female press conferences, she said they would not address politics, legislation, or executive decisions, since the role of reporters are expected to be non-political at that time. She also agreed at first that she would avoid discussing her views on pending congressional measures. Still, the press conference provided a welcome opportunity for the women reporters to speak directly with the first lady, access that had been unavailable in previous administrations. Just before Franklin assumed the presidency in February 1933, Roosevelt published an editorial in the Women's Daily News that conflicted so strongly with his intended public spending policies that he published for Georgia in the following issue. On entering the White House, she signed a contract with the magazine Women's Home Companion to provide a monthly column, and when she answered mail sent to her by the readers, the feature was canceled in 1936. As another presidential election approached, she continued her articles in other venues, publishing more than 60 articles in national magazines during her tenure as First Lady. Roosevelt also began a syndicated newspaper column titled My Day, which appeared 6 days a week from 1936 to her death. In 1962, in the column she wrote about her daily activities, but also her humanitarian concerns. Hickok and George T. By, Roosevelt's literary agent, encouraged her to write the column from 1941 to her death in 1996. She also wrote in the Vice Club, If You Ask Me, first published in Ladies' Home Journal and then later in McCall's. A selection of her columns was compiled in the book If You Ask Me, Essential Advice from Eleanor Roosevelt in 2018. Beasley has argued that Roosevelt's publication, which often dealt with women's issues and invited reader responses, represented a conscious attempt to use journalism to overcome social isolation for women by making public communication a two-way channel. Roosevelt also made extensive use of radio. She was not the first lady to broadcast. Her predecessor, Lew Henry Hoover, had done that already, but Hoover did not have a regular radio program, whereas Roosevelt did. She first broadcast her own program of radio commentary beginning in July 1934. On that first show, she talked about the effect of women on children, the need for a censor who could make sure movies did not glorify crime and violence, and her opinion about the series and All-Star baseball game. She also wrote a commercial from a mattress company which sponsored the broadcast. She said she would not accept any salary for being on the air, and that she would donate the amount, $3,000, to charity. Later that year, in November 1934, she broadcast a series of programs about children's education. It was heard on the CBS radio network, sponsored by a typewriter company. Roosevelt once again donated money, giving it to the American Friends Service Committee to help with a school it operated. During the 1934, Roosevelt set a record for the most times the First Lady had spoken on radio. She spoke as a guest on other people's programs, as well as the host of her own, for a total of 28 times that year. In 1935, Roosevelt continued to host programs aimed at the female audience, including one called It's a Woman's World. Each time she donated the money she earned to charity, the association of a sponsor with the popular First Lady resulted in increases in its sales for that company. When the Selby Shoe Company sponsored a series of Roosevelt's programs, sales increased by 200%. The fact that her brother was sponsored created controversy with her husband's political enemies, expressing a question about whether she really did donate her salary to charity. They accused her of profiteering, but her radio program proved to be so popular with listeners that the criticisms had little effect. She continued to broadcast throughout the 1930s, sometimes on CBS and sometimes on NBC. World War II. On May 10, 1940, Germany invaded Belgium, Luxembourg, and the Netherlands, marking it the end of the relatively conflict-free phony war because phase of the World War II, as the U.S. began to move toward war footing. Rosa found herself again depressed, fearing that her role in fighting for domestic justice would become extraneous in the nation focused on foreign affairs. She briefly considered traveling to Europe to work with the Red Cross, but was dissuaded by presidential advisors who pointed out the consequences should the president's wife be captured as a prisoner of war. She soon found other wartime causes to work on, however, beginning with a popular movement to allow the immigration of European refugee children. She also lobbied her husband to allow greater immigration of groups persecuted by the Nazis, including Jews, but fears of fifth columnists caused Franklin to restrict immigration rather than expanding it. Roosevelt successfully secured political refugee status for 83 Jewish refugees from the SS Kwanzaa in August 1940, but refused on many other occasions. Her son James later wrote that her deepest regret at the end of her life was that she had not forced Franklin to accept more refugees from Nazism during the war. Roosevelt visiting troops. Roosevelt was also active on the home front beginning in 1941. She co-chaired the Office of Civilian Defense, OCD, with New York City Mayor Fiorello H. LaGuardia, working to give civilian volunteers expanded roles in war preparations. She soon found herself in a power struggle with LaGuardia, who preferred to focus on narrow aspects of defense, while she saw solutions to broader social problems as equally important to the war effort, though LaGuardia resigned from the OCD in December 1941. Roosevelt was forced to resign following anger in the House of Representatives over high salaries for several OCD appointments, including two of her close friends. Also in 1941, the short film Women in Defense, written by Roosevelt, was released. It was produced by the Office of Emergency Management and briefly outlines the way in which women could help prepare the country for the possibility of war. There was also a segment on the types of costumes women would wear while engaged in war at work. At the end of the film, the narrator explains women are vital to securing a healthy home, American home life, and raising children, which has always been the first line of defense. In October 1942, Roosevelt toured England, visiting with American troops and inspecting British forces. Her visits drew enormous crowds and received almost unanimously favorable press in both England and America. In August 1943, she visited American troops in the South Pacific on the morale-building tour, of which Admiral William Halsey Jr. later said she alone accomplished more good than any other person or any groups of civilians who had passed through my area. For her part, Roosevelt was left shaken and deeply depressed by seeing the war's carnage. A number of congressional Republicans criticized her for using scarce wartime resources for her trip, prompting Franklin to suggest that she take a break from traveling. Roosevelt supported increased roles for women and African Americans in the war effort. I began to advocate for women to be given factory jobs a year before it became a widespread practice. In 1942, she urged women of all social backgrounds to learn trades, saying, "If I were a debutante age, I would go into a factory, any factory where I could learn a skill and be useful." Roosevelt learned of the high rate of absenteeism among working mothers, and she campaigned for government-sponsored daycare. She notably supported the Tuskegee Airmen in their successful efforts to become the first black combat pilots. Visiting the Tuskegee Air Corps Advanced Flight School in Alabama, she also flew with African-American Chief Civilian Instructor C. Albert Chief Anderson had been flying since 1929, responsible for 30,000 rookie pilots. He took her on a half tour flight in a Piper J3 Cub. After landing, she cheerfully announced, "Well, you can fly all right." The subsequent brouhaha over the first lady's flight had such an impact that it was often mistaken as the start of a civilian pilot training program at Tuskegee, even though the program was already 5 months old. Roosevelt did use her position as trustee of the J.S. Roosevelt to arrange a loan of $175,000 to help finance the building of Motown Field. After the war, Roosevelt was a strong opponent of the Morgenthau Plan to deindustrialize Germany in the post-war period. In 1947, she attended the National Conference on the German Problem in New York, which she had helped organize. It issued a statement that any plans to resurrect the economic and political power of Germany would be dangerous to international security. Years after the White House, Franklin died on April 12, 1945, and suffered a severe hemorrhage at the Little White House in Warm Springs, Georgia. Roosevelt later learned that her husband's mistress, Lucy Mercer, now named Rutherford, had been with him when he died, a discovery made more bitter by learning that her daughter Anna had been aware of the ongoing relationship between the president and Rutherford. It was Anna who told her that Franklin had been with Rutherford when he died. In addition, she told her that Franklin had continued the relationship for decades, and people surrounding him had hidden the information from his wife. At the funeral, Roosevelt inevitably returned to Valkill. Franklin left instructions for her in the event of his death. He proposed turning over Hyde Park to the federal government as a museum, and she spent the following months cataloging the estate and arranging for the transfer. After Franklin's death, she moved into an apartment at 29 Washington Square West in Greenwich Village. In 1950, she rented suites at the Park Sheraton Hotel, 202 West 56th Street. She lived here until 1953, when she moved to 211 East 62nd Street. When that lease expired in 1958, she returned to the Park Sheraton as she waited for the house she purchased with Edna and David Gurwitch at 55 East 74th Street to be renovated. The Franklin D. Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum opened on April 12, 1946, setting a precedent for the future presidential libraries. United Nations State of the Union for Freedoms, January 6, 1941. In December 1945, President Harry S. Truman appointed Roosevelt as a delegate to the United Nations General Assembly. In April 1946, she became the first chairperson of the preliminary United Nations Commission on Human Rights. Roosevelt remained chairperson when the commission was established on a permanent basis in January 1947, along with Renee Cassin, John Peters Humphrey, and others. She played an instrumental role in drafting the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, UDHR. In a speech on the night of September 28, 1948, Roosevelt spoke in favor of the Declaration, calling it the International Magna Carta of all men everywhere. The Declaration was adopted by the General Assembly on December 10, 1948. The vote was unanimous with 8 abstentions. 6 Soviet bloc countries, as well as South Africa and Saudi Arabia. Roosevelt attributed the abstention of the Soviet bloc nations to Article 13, which provided the right of citizens to leave their countries. Roosevelt also served as the first United States representative to the United Nations Commission on Human Rights and stayed on that position until 1953, even after stepping down as chair of the commission in 1951. The UN posthumously awarded her one of its first human rights prizes in 1968 in recognition of her work. In the 1940s, Roosevelt was among the first people to support the creation of a UN agency specialized in the issues of food and nutrition. At that time, Frederick L. McDougall, an Australian nutritionist, wrote the draft memorandum on the United Nations Program for Freedom for Want of Food. McDougall strongly believed that the international cooperation to address the issue of hunger in the world. Roosevelt learned about the memorandum, arranged a meeting between McDougall and her husband, the President of the United States of America. Following discussions, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, FAO, was created on October 16, 1945. In 1955, Eleanor Roosevelt and McDougall visited the new FAO headquarters in Rome and pushed the United Nations program to creating the Food from Hunger campaign, which ultimately saw the light in 1960 after a series of negotiations. The campaign was created to mobilize non-governmental organizations against hunger and malnutrition in the world and help find solutions. Other post-war activities and honors. In the late 1940s, Democrats in New York and throughout the country courted Roosevelt for two political office. Despite her reservations, Roosevelt supported Kennedy's campaign. Catholics comprised a major element of the Democratic Party in New York City. Roosevelt supported reformers trying to overthrow the Irish between Tammany Hall and some Catholics called her anti-Catholic. In July 1949, Roosevelt had a bitter public disagreement with Cardinal Francis Spellman, the Archbishop of New York, over federal funding for parochial schools. Spellman said she was anti-Catholic and supporters of both sides, took sides in the battle, that drew national attention and is still remembered for its vehemence and hostility. In 1949, she co-wrote alongside Helen Ferris, editor-in-chief of the Junior Literary Guide, Partners of the United Nations of Youth, a look at the NASA organization work with children of the world. It won the Child Study Association of America's Children's Book Award, now Bank Street Children's Book Committee's Joseph Frank Award. She was an early supporter of the Encampa for Citizenship, a nonprofit organization that conducts presidential summer programs with year-round follow-up for young people of wildly diverse backgrounds and nations. She routinely hosted encampment workshops at her Hyde Park estate, and when the program was attacked as socialistic by McCarthyite forces in the early 1950s, she vigorously defended it. In 1954, Tammany Hall boss Carmine DeSapio led the effort to defeat Roosevelt's son Franklin Delano Roosevelt Jr. in the election for New York Attorney General. Roosevelt grew increasingly disgusted with DeSapio's political conduct through the rest of the 1950s. Eventually, she would join with her old friends Herbert Lehman and Thomas Findlater to form the New York Committee for Democratic Voters, a group dedicated to opposing DeSapio's incarnate Tammany Hall. Their efforts were eventually successful, and DeSapio was forced to relinquish power in 1961. Roosevelt was disappointed when President Truman backed New York Governor W. Alvaro Harriman, a close associate of DeSapio, for the 1952 Democrat presidential nomination. She supported Adlai Stevenson for president in 1952 and 1956, and urged his re-nomination in 1960. She resigned from a UN post in 1953 when Dwight D. Eisenhower became president. She addressed the Democratic National Convention in 1952 and 1956. Although she had reservations about John F. Kennedy for his service against McCarthyism, she supported him for president against Richard Nixon. Kennedy later reappointed her to the United Nations, where she served again from 1961 to 1962, and to the National Advisory Committee of the Peace Corps. By the 1950s, Roosevelt's international role as spokesman for women led her to stop publicly criticizing the Equal Rights Amendment, ERA. Although she never supported it in the early 1960s, she announced that due to unionization, she believed the ERA was no longer a threat to women as it once may have been, and told supporters that they could have the amendment if they wanted it. In 1961, President Kennedy's Undersecretary of Labor, Esther Peterson, proposed a new presidential commission on the status of women. Kennedy appointed Roosevelt to chair the commission with Peterson as director. This is Roosevelt's last public commission. She died just before the commission issued its report. It concluded that female equality was best achieved by recognition of gender differences and not by equalized amendments. Throughout the 1950s, Roosevelt embarked on countless national and international speaking engagements. She continued to pen a newspaper column and made appearances on television and radio broadcasts. She averaged 150 lectures throughout the 1950s, many devoted to her exodus on behalf of the United Nations. She is widely known for her anti-colonial stance. She supported Moroccan independence through both personal intervention with the U.S. authorities and addressing the Moroccan question in her column, My Day. Roosevelt received the first annual Franklin Delano Roosevelt Brotherhood Award in 1946. Other notable awards she received during her life post-war included the Award of Merit of the New York City Federation of Women's Clubs in 1948, the Four Friends Award in 1950, the Irving Geist Foundation Award in 1950, and the Prince Carl Medical from Sweden in 1950. She was most admired living woman according to Gallup's Most Admired Man and Women Poll of Americans every year between 1948, the poll's inception, to 1961, the last poll before her death, except 1951. Following the Bay of Pigs in 1960, President Kennedy asked Roosevelt, later Liberty leader Walter Reuther and Milton S. Hyde, brother of President Eisenhower, to negotiate the release of captured Americans with Cuban leader Fidel Castro. Death. In April 1960, Roosevelt was diagnosed with aplastic anemia soon after being struck by a car in New York City. In 1960, she was given steroids was diagnosed with a dormant case of tuberculosis in her bone marrow, and she died age 78 of resulting cardiac failure at her Manhattan home at 55 East 74th Street on the Upper East Side on November 7, 1962, cared for by her daughter Anna. President John F. Kennedy ordered all United Nations flags lowered to half-staff throughout the world on November 8th in tribute to Roosevelt. Funeral services were held 2 days later in Hyde Park, where she was interred next to her husband in the Rose Garden at Springwood Estate. The Roosevelt family home attendees included President Kennedy, Vice President Lyndon B. Johnson, and former President Truman and Eisenhower, who honored Roosevelt. After her death, Eleanor's retreat at Belle Kill near Hyde Park was eventually preserved as the Eleanor Roosevelt National Historic Site. Her family deeded the family vacation home on Campobello Island to the governments of the U.S. and Canada, and created the 2,800-acre, 1,100-hectare Roosevelt Campobello International Park. The Franklin Delano Roosevelt Memorial on the National Mall is the only United States presidential memorial to depict the First Lady. The statue of Eleanor is displayed with the likeness of United Nations seal. Published books: Hunting Big Game in the 80s, The Letters of Elliot Roosevelt, Sportsman, New York, Scribner's 1932, When You Grow Up to Vote, Boston, Houghton Mifflin, 1932, Is Up to the Women, New York, Stokes, 1933, A Trip to Washington with Bobby and Betty, the New York Dodge, 1935, This Is My Story, New York, Harper, 1937, My Days, New York, Dodge, 1938, This Triple World, New York, Kinsey, 1938, Christmas a Story, New York, Knopf, 1940, Christmas 1940, New York, St. Martin's, 1940. The Moral Basis of Democracy, New York, Howell, Toskin, 1940. This is America, 1942 book with text by Eleanor Roosevelt and photos by Francis Cook McGregor. If You Ask Me, New York, Appleton Century, 1946. This I Remember, New York, Harper, 1949. Partners, the United Nations and Youth, Garden City, Doubleday, 1950. With Helen Ferris, India and the Awakening East, New York, Harper, 1953. UN Today and Tomorrow, New York, Harper, 1953, with William DeWitt. It Seems to Me, New York, Norton, 1954. Ladies of Courage, New York, Putnam's, 1954, with Loretta Hickok. United Nations, What You Should Know About It, London, Croft, 1955. On My Own, New York, Harper, 1958. Growing Toward Peace, New York, Random House, 1960, with Regina Tor. You Learn by Living, New York, Harper, 1960. The Autobiography of Eleanor Roosevelt, New York, Harper, 1961. Your Teens and Mine, New York, DeCapo, 1961. Eleanor Roosevelt Book of Common Sense, Etiquette, New York, Macmillan, 1960, with the assistance of Robert O. Ballou. Eleanor Roosevelt's Christmas Book, New York, Todd Mead, 1963. Tomorrow is Down, New York, Harper, 1963. Posthumous Recognition or Recognition Awards. In 1960, the White House Historical Association purchased Douglas Chandler's portrait of Eleanor Roosevelt. The portrait has been commissioned by the Roosevelt family in 1949. The painting was presented at a White House reception on February 4, 1960, and that was hosted by Lady Bird Johnson, intended by more than 250 invited guests. The portrait hangs in a Vermeil room. Roosevelt was posthumously inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame in 1963. In 1989, the Eleanor Roosevelt Fund was founded in honor of an individual project organization or institution for outstanding contributions to equality and education for women and girls. The Eleanor Roosevelt Monument in New York's Roosevelt Park was dedicated in 1996 with First Lady Hillary Clinton serving as a keynote speaker. It was the first monument to the American women in a New York City park. Centerpiece is a statue of Roosevelt sculpted by Penelope Jenks. The surrounding granite pavement contains scriptures designated by the architect Michael Middleton Dwyer, including summaries of her achievements and a quote from her 1950 speech at the United Nations advocating universal human rights. In 1997, the Franklin Delano Roosevelt Memorial in Washington, D.C. was dedicated. It includes a bronze statue of Eleanor Roosevelt standing by before the United Nations Emblem, which honors her dedication to the United Nations. It is the only presidential memorial to depict the First Lady. In 1998, President Bill Clinton established the Eleanor Roosevelt Award for Human Rights to honor outstanding American mothers of rights in the United States. The award was first awarded on the 50th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, honored Eleanor Roosevelt's role as a driving force in the development of the UN's Universal Declaration of Human Rights Award was representative from 1998 to the end of the Clinton administration in 2001. In 2010, the then Secretary of State of the United States, Hillary Clinton, revived the Eleanor Roosevelt Award for Human Rights and presented the award on behalf of the then President of the United States, Barack Obama. The Gallup organization published a poll of Gallup's list of most widely admired people of the 20th century to determine which people around the world America's most admired for what they did in the 20th century. In 1999, Eleanor Roosevelt came in ninth. In 2001, the Eleanor Roosevelt Legacy Committee, Eleanor's Legacy, was founded by Jesus Hollingsworth Hope, who was its president until April 2008, and inspires and supports pro-choice Democratic women to run for local state offices in New York. Legacy sponsors campaign training schools, links candidates with volunteers and experts, collaborates with like-minded organizations, and provides campaign grants to endorse grant candidates. In 2007, Eleanor Roosevelt was named a hero by the My Hero Project. On April 20, 2016, United States Secretary of Treasury Jacob Lew announced that Eleanor Roosevelt would appear with Marian Anderson and noted suffragists on the redesigned U.S. $5 bill, scheduled to be unveiled in 2020 and the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which guaranteed women the right to vote. In 2020, Time Magazine included Eleanor Roosevelt on a list of 100 Women of the Year. She was recognized and named Woman of the Year in 1948 for her efforts on tackling issues surrounding human rights. Roosevelt will be honored on the American Women Quarter in 2023. Places named for Roosevelt. Eleanor Roosevelt School was also known as Eleanor Roosevelt Vocational School for Colored Youth, Warm Springs Negro School, and Eleanor Roosevelt Roosevelt School, which operated as a school from March 18, 1937 to 1972, was a historical black community school located at 350 Parham Street at Leverett Road in Warm Springs, Georgia. As of May 3, 2010, the school is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Listings in Maryville County, Georgia, the town Norvell was renamed as such in 1937 as a combination of the last syllables in Eleanor Roosevelt's name, Eleanor Roosevelt, the Norvell. Firefighters Hall is named in Roosevelt Hall in her honor. In 1972, the Eleanor Roosevelt Institute was founded. It emerged from the Franklin D. Roosevelt Forefathers Foundation in 1987 to become the Roosevelt Institute. The Roosevelt Institute, as it is a liberal American think tank organization based in New York City, states that it exists to carry forward the legacy and values of Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt by developing progressive ideas and bold leadership in the service of restoring America's promise of opportunity for all. Eleanor Roosevelt High School, a public magnet high school professional in science, mathematics, technology, and engineering, was established in 1976 at its current location in Greenbelt, Maryland. It was the first high school named for Eleanor Roosevelt and is part of the Prince George's County Public School System. Elk Hill Historic Site, Hyde Park, New York. Roosevelt lived in the Stone College in Valka, which was 2 miles east of the Springwood Estate. The college had been her home after the death of her husband. It was the only residence she had ever personally owned. In 1977, the home was designed by an act of Congress as Eleanor Roosevelt National Historic Site to commemorate for the education, inspiration, and benefit of present and future generations' life and work of an outstanding woman in American history. In 1988, Save America's Treasure, SAT, announced Valco College as a new official project. SAT's involvement led to the honoring of Eleanor Roosevelt and HER Project, initially run by private volunteers and now a part of SAT. The HER Project has since raised almost $1 million, which has gone toward restoration and development efforts at Valkill, and the production of Eleanor Roosevelt Close to Home, a documentary about Roosevelt at Valkill, due in part to the success of these programs. Valkill was given a $75,000 grant and named one of 12 sites showcased in Restore America, a salute to preservation, a partnership between SAT, the National Trust, and HGTV, the Roosevelt Study Center, a research institute, conference center, and library on 20th century America. This is located at 12th Century Abbey of Middelburg. The Netherlands opened in 1986. It is named after Eleanor Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt, and Franklin Roosevelt, all of whom as an immigrant from Zeeland, the Netherlands, to the United States in the 17th century. In 1988, Eleanor Roosevelt College, one of 6 undergraduate residential colleges at the University of California, San Diego, was founded. ERC emphasize international understanding, including proficiency in a foreign language and a regional special Eleanor Roosevelt High School, a small public high school on the Upper East Side of Manhattan in New York City, was founded in 2002. Eleanor Roosevelt High School in East Spokane opened in 2006. Cultural references. In the 1940s and 1950s, female and personal author Blake drew acclaim for his First Nations of Eleanor Roosevelt in his nightclub act. At the invitation of Roosevelt, he performed his impersonation of Eleanor at the White House. He also impersonated FDR in 1952, film diplomatic career. Sunrise at Camp Villa in 1950, Broadway play by Dorothy Sherry dramatized for the attack of the eventual recovery from polio, in which Mary Pickett starred as Eleanor. In 1960, the film of the same name, which is based on the play, starred Greer Garson as Eleanor. Their Eleanor Roosevelt story, a 1969 American biographical documentary film directed by Richard Kaplan, won the Academy Award for Best Documentary Feature. The Academy Film Archive preserved it in 2006. Roosevelt was the subject of the 1976 Arlene Stad historical play Eleanor. In 1976, Talent Associates released the American television miniseries Eleanor and Franklin, starring Edward Herman as Franklin Roosevelt and Jane Alexander as Eleanor Roosevelt. It was broadcast at ABC on January 11 and 12, 1976, and based on Josephine Lasch's biography of 1971, Eleanor and Franklin, based on their correspondence on recently opened archives. The film won numerous awards, including 11 Primetime Emmy Awards, a Golden Globe Award, and the Peabody Award. The director, Daniel Petrie, won a Primetime Emmy for Director of the Year special. In 1997, they released a sequel entitled Eleanor and Franklin, The White House Years, with the same stars. It won 7 Primetime Emmy Awards, including the Outstanding Special of the Year. Daniel Petrie won again a Primetime Emmy for Director of the Year special for the second film. Both films were acclaimed and noted for historical accuracy. In 1979, NBC televised the miniseries Backstairs at the White House, based on a 1970s book, My 30 Years Backstairs at the White House by Lady Roger Sparks. The series portrays the lives of the presidents and families and the White House staff who served them from the administration of William Howe Taft, 1909 to 1913, to Dwight D. Eisenhower, 1953 to 1961. Much of the book was based on notes by her mother, Maggie Rogers, a White House maid. Parks credits Eleanor Roosevelt for encouraging her to start there by the service on the White House staff. The series won the Writers Guild of America Award for long-form television series, received a Golden Globe nomination for dramatic television series, and won an Emmy for Outstanding Achievement in Makeup. Among the 10 additional Emmy nominated was Adelaide Echo for Return of Eleanor Roosevelt. She received an Emmy nomination, won again, the following year for her performance as Eleanor Roosevelt in the NBC television movie FDR last year. In 1996, Washington Post writer Bob Woodward reported that Hillary Clinton had been having imaginary discussions with Eleanor Roosevelt for the start of Clinton's time as president following the Zambas loss of Gresham Cohen in the 1994 elections. Clinton had engaged in services of the Human Potential Movement proponent Gene Houston. Houston encouraged Clinton to pursue the Roosevelt connection, and while no psychic technique was used with Clinton, critics and comics immediately suggested that Clinton was holding seances as Roosevelt. The White House stated that this was merely a brainstorming exercise, and a private poll later indicated that most of the public believed these were indeed just imaginary conversations, with the remainder believing that communication with David was actually possible. In a 2003 article by Living History, Clinton titled an entire chapter Conversation with Eleanor and stated that holding imaginary conversations is actually a useful mental exercise to help analyze problems, provided you choose the right person to visualize. Eleanor Roosevelt was ideal. In 1996, a children's picture book, Eleanor, by Barbara Cooney, about Eleanor Roosevelt, published and describes her as a shy girl who goes on to do great things. In 2014, the American Documentary Series of Roosevelt's An Intimate History was released, produced and directed by Ken Burns. The series focused on the lives of Theodore Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt. The series premiered to positive reviews and was nominated for 3 Primetime Emmy Awards, winning the Emmy Award for Outstanding Narrator for Peter Carter's narration of the first episode in September 2014. The Roosevelt became the most streamed documentary on PBS website to date. Dear Eleanor is a 2008 American film about two best friends traveling across the U.S. in 1968 to meet their childhood hero, hero, Eleanor Roosevelt. Eleanor Roosevelt's life and time as First Lady are featured in 2002 televised television series First Lady. She is played by Gillian Anderson and by Eliza Scanlon as young Eleanor. Thank you for listening to this third and final part of First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt. Have a good week and stay safe.